If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Eve Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerald Farrelly.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Welcome, listener. Welcome to the show where a Eurovision winner, a goddess,
that's me,
if you will, and a comedian, fix your problems, heal your life, make things a little bit better on a Monday morning.
Yes. And what else is Monday mornings for? Like,
exactly. I mean, Monday morning is, it's a pretty miserable time.
Yeah, but you know, think about it, today like is the middle of the year, technically. So 31st of July.
Is it?
Well, you know, in and around. You know what I mean? But look, you know, we're 7 months in. Is it seven?
Seven. So are we going, we're into the last third.
We're in the last bit of the whole
final hurdle. Oh, sure, it'll be Christmas before you know it.
Oh, any minute now, we'll be getting our uniforms for the kids. Oh, I don't do that anymore.
God almighty.
I hate it.
Do you know what? There's nothing, like, I don't have kids. I haven't had an involvement with a school in a million years. But when somebody says uniform for the kids, my skin starts to crawl. Like when I do the Edinburgh Festival, right? The Edinburgh Festival is a festival in Edinburgh.
Is it?
It lasts for a whole month.
Right.
It's far too long.
Okay.
Right? It's way too long. And there's a point at the Edinburgh Festival where I want to peel my own skin off, right?
Okay.
And that is the last week of the Fringe when all of the kids go back to school.
Uh-huh.
And we're still going in to do our shows every single day. We've done about 21 at this point and you've got another week to go. You're fit to kill yourself. You haven't a penny to your name. Your mental health is in shreds. And then you start to see kids walking into school in their uniforms. And you just think, what are we doing in this town?
Because
Edinburgh's just like, please leave, get out of here.
I know, because I'm going to tell you, every parent has to save their money for how much it costs to send a child into school every year. Quite apart from the lunch box you had to buy or the things, right? Or the stationery.
Gemma, the holograms case with a matching flask. That's all I wanted. I wasn't allowed to have it.
Oh. Gemma the hologram.
Gemma's exciting. Ooh, Gem. Gem is my name. No one else is the same. Gem is my name. Gem. No?
No.
Do you not remember Gem and the holograms?
We are a very different generation. You know that. 10 years makes all the difference.
Yeah, Neve used to watch like Bill and Ben and the Flower Pot Men.
No!
Well,
I did see them. Them and the Clangers.
Two little matchstick men and then a lady in black and white just reading a story from a book. And that was entertainment
Jack
back in the 40s.
40s?
Oh, whatever, Neve. Yeah, I don't like to age you. I wouldn't like to age you, Neve.
It's too late. I'm already there. but it's also the beginning of the builders' holidays. Do you remember, like, the first 2 weeks
in
August?
Builders are always on holidays, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's very hard to get them now.
Impossible to get them. Like, it's so funny. I was looking, I was looking at houses with my other half.
Why?
Just, you know, in the event that I could at some point move into one.
Okay.
I'd love a garden. Anyway, but like...
You haven't consulted with me about that. Surely that's,
I know. It's not going to happen. We can't afford it. Like,
of course you can.
But the point is, everywhere you go, they're like, you know, this is an absolutely wonderful boy. You know, it's absolutely... There's a little bit of work to be done. I'm like, work?
Yeah.
Work to be done? Is there work to be done? It needs to be smashed to the ground and rebuilt.
I know, a lot of them are.
And they're like, oh yeah, you buy it, you know, you spend everything you own, and then what you'll have to do is you'll have to spend 7 years waiting on a builder.
Yeah.
So what you would do is we're going to put you out the back in a wigwam until then, because the place is condemned.
But you'll have, it'll be a good investment.
Oh yeah, good investment. Like, if you're looking for a really fast way to sink every penny you will ever earn into something, this two up, two down in Clonsky is the place to do it.
The only difficulty as well is that you're going to hire these builders and you have this thing in your mind that they're going to be hot builders in their Snickers, but they're never hot builders unless they're hot from the sweat. They're not hot.
I don't know where they get them in the porn films. I really don't.
Because we've talked about this.
I'd be tempted to do porn just so I could meet a builder and go, is there any chance you could knock a wall?
I know. I would find that far more alluring if somebody would actually do some practical work for me.
I know. If I was making pornography, I would want them to finish the job first.
Oh, really?
Finish the job before they did the job.
Any particular job? You'd like to be finished.
I'd like it to be finished, peer-reviewed and invoiced for. And when all that's done, we can consider a little bit of sex.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
How was Donegal?
Oh, amazing. I love Donegal. And Paul and I were just talking about, you know, how at this stage of our lives, because our kids are not coming with us.
I don't like the way you say that.
What?
You always say at this stage of our lives.
Well, we've been at many stages. We've been together 25 years.
You're not 60, like.
No, I know. Well, he is 66.
Oh, yeah. And fair point.
I'm only five years off 60, right? You're not even. Like, it's like.
You see, you're physically 5 years off 60.
I am.
But I mean, you've got the soul of a 25 year old.
Soul of a 25 year old, as long as I can keep it.
Yeah, you're like Aretha Franklin.
The point is. We thought at this point we'd have been able to, you know, oh, it'd be great. We won't be stuck to term time. We won't have to be able to come up and down here all the time. What we're doing is we're taking work, and I'm taking work individually. And then obviously we work together sometimes. And then he's taking work individually doing his thing. And actually we're passing each other by a bit more. And I thought that at this point we'd be doing more together. So I think that might be my
Niamh, I think together is very overrated in a long-term relationship.
He's sad. So that's enough for me.
Look, all you want is that he misses you.
Oh yeah,
that's enough. Let them miss you so they'll be excited when you come home.
Yeah,
I sometimes think that in a relationship, a long term relationship, you need the little distractions.
Ah, you do.
Sometimes there are couples
who do everything together
and their worlds kind of start and end with each other, and I'm always like, that's a bit, I don't know, like, I admire them that they can do it.
Do you?
But I just don't think I could.
No, you don't admire it. You dread it.
Like if my boyfriend said to me, like if I said I'm going out to a gig, I'm going out to, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm going to drive to Kerry to do a show.
Right, and they want to go with
you. And if he said, sure, I'll come with you for the drive, I'd be like, oh no.
No, I'd be allergic.
No.
No, and I sometimes,
that's not how we roll.
To be fair, Paul and I sometimes, because obviously sometimes he plays with me, like plays the guitar. Yeah. But, you know, and that's okay. But actually we have our worst time in the car. Because I don't like the way he drives, he doesn't like the way I drive. That's it. So there's no happy way to end that situation except if we're in separate cars.
My boyfriend didn't understand for a while that I couldn't bear to be picked up at the airport.
No,
it's one of my, like, if somebody, now I have to say I've got better at it because we have our little airport routine, because we put that in place last year and I was like,
an airport routine?
There will be times I need to be picked up, because there was a few times where I was like, you can't get from Dublin Airport.
No, don't even start that conversation.
Like, if you fly into Dublin Airport, it's like, I'm sorry, you're here till for another 3 hours, you're going to have to stand on a bus stop. Like, Jesus Christ. So there were times when I was like, I'd fly in like at like 4 o'clock, but I needed to go straight to Vicar Street or something. Sure. And I was like, okay, well, I do need to be collected. So like, suck it up, Geralt. Because my thing, right, about being collected from an airport is, as soon as you land, you get the text. It's like, where are you? It's like, I'm still on the plane. There's no steps.
No.
Like, so then it's like, I'm just going through this. I'm here. I'm, you know, I've just gone through passport control. We're just queuing now. I'm just coming to, I'm waiting for my bag. And it's like, where are you? And it's all about where they've parked. Because they never pull into the car park and get a ticket because it costs £3. They're always like, oh, I'll just do a circuit. I'll do another loop. You're like, Jesus wept. I could get a bus. Like, this is so stressful, right? So at some point I decided, I never want to be picked up at an airport.
I know, I understand.
But even my parents, because my parents live near the airport, and they're like, we'll pick you up, come in. I'd rather die if it's all the same.
You know, yeah. No, so, that's complicated. Very complicated. That's not, we'll pick you up and drop you somewhere. That's not, yeah, like, that's like, not the way it works.
We'll pick you up and then you'll come home for
tea. You're
going to
live with us
hours,
for four
right?
years. But we live very different lives, because I've been in Rosbeg and you're heading to the lovely Barcelona.
Yeah, I'm going on my holidays. I can't wait. Now, I'm upset because I'm leaving my cat and I have to just get over it.
Who's looking after the cat then?
My neighbour. I always get very stressed when I'm leaving her.
Yeah, I know. I can understand that.
Because she gets stressed and then we watch her on the camera. Now, to be fair, when we watch her on the camera, she just literally sleeps. She like lies on her back on the bed and sleeps all day, all night, and has an absolutely lovely time. But we obsess and just like, oh, look at her, she's on her own. Oh, it's awful. She must miss us terribly. There's no evidence she does. Absolutely none.
You know, you are so lucky that you don't have kids.
Oh, yeah.
Or should I say your kids
by
are
design,
lucky.
Niamh.
Your kids are lucky that you don't have money.
Imagine being on holiday and it's like, someone needs to take that to the pool.
I know.
I would crack up. That wants chips.
I'm perfectly happy, whatever, whether that makes it back or not.
Well, do you know what I didn't realise? When I flew to Vancouver, Air Canada will take pets.
Oh, yeah.
So you can, like, once your pet is in a container where it can stand up,
mm-hmm.
and that container fits under your front seat, you can bring it.
So a snake then? What the hell?
No,
the seat. How big a dog?
No, but like the
how big is the seat in front of you? Like I can barely get a fucking small carry. What the hell? What size of a thing are you bringing? That's a typical cat owner.
But you can get those bags. You know those bags.
You put the cat bag.
It's like a cat bag. I have one for her.
Okay.
You just put it under the table. You just kick it under and just force it in. It'll be grand.
I mean, to be fair, half the time cats do spend their time under seats. They love to get in under things, don't they?
I did think about it. I was like, God, I could bring Boots to Canada.
But do they let you? I don't think the problem is necessarily bring them into Canada. The problem is bringing them back because of the tetanus situation here.
Oh.
Yeah, like rabies and all that sort of stuff and all that, you know.
So do you get them a passport though?
Possibly you need to look into the passport situation. The difficulty is never necessarily getting them off the island. It's getting them back in.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. If any listener out there has any more information.
Oh, because we love, actually, you know.
You see, I swear to God, every so often a listener pipes up that's an expert. And you're like, Jesus,
we have
listeners. The only thing about bringing her on holidays, and I've thought about this, is that if she goes missing on holidays.
She'll have nowhere.
You have to go. You have
listen,
to leave.
Listen, holiday for her is getting outside that apartment. You never let her out.
No, she doesn't want to go out. I brought her down to the garden.
I'm nearly sure
a couple of weeks ago.
There have been hostages who say that they don't want to go out.
They don't want to leave. Happy. He's happy down there, handcuffed to his radiator. Look at him, he's thrilled. Attention, Agony Rants listeners. I am on tour. Well, I'm not. I'm off tour. But I'll be back on tour from September. It's the next leg of my Glamour Hammer tour. If you've seen the show, no need to come again. It's the same. But if you saw the show and enjoyed it, tell your friends, send them along. I'll be on tour from September to January, and I'll be doing dates in Cork, Thurles, either Baker Street on 16th of September. I'll be all around the country in places that I haven't been already, but if you're in Cork, I'll be at the Everyman and I would love you to come to that.
Oh, listen.
Cork, what's going on?
Do you know what I can't believe, right?
Go on.
I can't believe you're discouraging people who've already seen you.
Well, I mean,
if they loved it, would they not come
back? If you want, but you know.
It might be funnier
I don't like rinsing people.
You might be, I know.
If you would like to get tickets, you can get tickets by going to garrowferry.com or through the link in my Instagram bio. And if you click on that link, if it's there, it has tickets available. Because some of them are sold out.
I know. That's because you're amazing. Nothing but love here.
She looks absolutely furious. We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. We are delighted to be on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
And no doubt we are the favourites.
We are the favourites. And would you believe that this week the cross promo is us?
No way.
All of the other shows are promoting our show.
About time.
About time.
I know, because we say lovely things about people all the time.
And if you haven't subscribed to Headstuff Plus, Headstuff Plus is a bonus platform. It's like Patreon. The only difference is that as well as getting our bonus content, you will get bonus content from all of the shows on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Yes.
And in, I think it's 2 weeks' time, we are launching our bonus show.
Yes, very exciting.
We're not sure what we're calling it.
We need a kind of an idea for what to call it. Teenage Angst.
I was thinking we could call it Continued Professional Development.
Yeah, it just rolled off the tongue, that one. CPD.
We'll take the conversation outline.
CPD. CPD for short.
Yeah, continue.
Very close to CBD.
Continued
deal.
Professional
CB
development.
Deal, CPD.
Because it links to the format.
Right, okay.
Which we will explain on a bonus episode.
Okay.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon. We have 5 episodes recorded, I think, and
we do.
Stunning. So yes, please subscribe on headstuffpodcasts.com/register. Did you know, Niamh?
What?
You can vote for us in the Listener's Choice, to be nominated for the Listener's Choice Award on the British Podcast Awards.
Can we?
British Podcast Awards, excuse me.
Hello. I know quite a few people have written us about that now. People,
yeah, it's nice.
I have voted for them. And I love that they say that.
Yeah, thank you so much for anyone that's voting for us. I mean, that is no really, really nice. I mean, I don't think we're going to win.
And we have no way of proving that they have voted for us.
Absolutely
but,
you know, not, because we just send the tweet for like, but look,
you know, we like, we love them.
Yes, so you can do that on BritishPodcastAwards.com. Mm-hmm. And we would love you for it. And also, I'm sure there'll be a Listener's Choice Award for the Irish Podcast
because
Awards.
Because we're not likely to be listed for anything else.
And I just want to say, I did submit
a reel.
An entry.
You couldn't help yourself. You couldn't help yourself.
For the Irish Podcast Awards.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed.
If I am slapped twice, it's shame on me.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
We weren't nominated last year. Shame on them. If we're not nominated this year, shame on me. It's on me.
No, it's their loss.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. Now, I'm gigging in Brighton.
Are you?
The night of the awards. So if we do win, you're going to have to pick it up.
Okay. Well, I'll bring a photo of you. Or you know what I'll do? I'll wear like a t-shirt with your face on it.
Exactly. That's exactly what you should
Or I could bring boots.
No, boots. She's
in the
got
cat
a very,
carrier.
Very high appearance fee.
Okay.
So yes, please vote for us. We would be your best friends.
So do we have any follow-ups?
Niamh, we have a follow-up.
I know. I'm very excited.
This is from...
So this is
Oh no, maybe, actually, I don't think we're supposed to say her name. This is from somebody who isn't called Anon, please.
Anon, please. And to be fair, she put it at the beginning.
She did, yeah. Yeah. She did indeed.
So you had to go the whole way. It's only
And she sent this through the form on the website, which I think is the first time anyone's ever done that.
Amazing. Well done.
My ears pricked up when I heard today's podcast that Niamh's husband had been married before her. I swear to God, the controversy.
I know, I love it.
It's early days, but you see, I'm seeing a gorgeous man who's been married.
Okay.
Indeed.
Okay.
Is he still married? He was with his former wife for a very, very, very long time. Ooh. Childhood sweethearts.
Wow, must be old.
There's also a considerable age gap. 13 years. Okay. I'm 26. So he's...
39.
That's all right.
Yeah,
that's
so
okay,
he was married a long time, okay.
But the thing is, when I'm with him, I don't notice the age gap.
Okay.
And neither does he. We've been very open about the age gap and his prior relationship. I pounced on the poor man with questions on date 3 and asked all the intense questions. Surprisingly, he was still keen after. I've also been open with him and said that if there comes a time where our timelines or goals don't marry up, we'll cross that bridge when it comes. When I broke up with my ex, I wrote down all the things I'd want from a relationship, and he is all those things. Okay. Amazing. Anyhow, my question to Niamh is, what advice do you have for someone to get over that someone's been married?
Oh, over the idea that somebody's been married. Okay.
And to you both, what's your advice on getting over the idea of the big age gap? I mean, you say you've no barriers.
I know.
But you appear to have massive ones.
I feel that, you know, she doth protest too much, as they say.
Logically, I know it's not an issue for me.
Really?
But the sabotage-y part of myself panics when I remember this fabulous man is 13 years my senior and was married. All my love.
Okay. Sabotage-y part?
Part is... in control.
Yeah,
at the
it is
moment.
Completely.
That's what's going on.
Mm.
And that's all right.
No, it is.
It's just a bit of fear.
I'll be honest with you. I was a bit older when I met my husband. Not much older, 4 years older, and he was 11 years older than me. Okay. So that's where we're starting. He was 40, he was 41, I was 30. So that's the age group. It's not massively different for you. I didn't see any problem with our age gap then because we were both kind of in similar places in our lives, whatever. Here's the big point. Number one, he was 10 years divorced when I met him, or separated anyway.
Okay.
Right. So he wasn't with his wife for a long time. And the other thing is he also wasn't in the original marital home, which is also helpful. But more importantly, they didn't have any connection still. There was no interaction with the ex-wife. So there was no children, there was no, you know.
Yeah.
There was no real relationship. There was no bad blood as such. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't easy. But the biggest thing of all was he didn't bring anything of the past marriage into the our relationship, and I didn't bring any of my past relationships in.
Okay.
So that's tough, right? Because that takes a bit of, you know, you're kind of formed by your past relationships and all that.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is he never came to me because he was married to a singer before. And so,
he was married to a singer before?
Yeah, no, it's a whole thing.
But I didn't realize he had a type.
Well, clearly. Are you calling me a type? No, but he was married,
he was married to a singer before.
Yeah.
And now he's married to a goddess.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There's singers.
And then there's
singers.
There's singers. Yeah,
there's people who sing.
Yeah. So,
like me.
Yeah.
I'm a singer.
You are a singer.
And you're a better singer.
I always say that you're a singer. I always try and encourage you to sing. Yeah. Always, always.
Comedian / singer.
That used to be a thing a lot, you know, in the back in the day. This is not solving her problem, though. The best way I can tell you, first of all, dealing with the actual previous marriage, you need to deal with this relationship as you and him, not who's elsewhere. It can be difficult if there's a lot of interaction with the past and as childhood sweethearts, if they have kids, if they have current property, whatever, how fresh that split is, that's all relevant. We don't have any of that information, so that's a little bit difficult to pass remark on. But the thing is, if he's in this with you and you're in it with him and he's up for the long term, then that's a thing, right?
I think what's happening here is, right, this is the first time she's probably been in a relationship with somebody that has a past. You're seeing these things immediately as obstacles.
But they're not.
They're not. They're just things that happen to be in his past. And what you're doing is you are looking at this new relationship and you're like, I really like this guy and things are really good between the two of us. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to not firefight. You're trying to minimize the risk.
Yeah.
And I guess get in front of anything that might jeopardize this relationship, right?
But I think what might happen is you might create them.
I agree. Like the only imminent risk, like in what you've told us about your relationship, is what you're bringing to the table. And it's how you feel about these two things. And also you're saying that you logically, where is it that you logically, I know it's not an issue for me. It actually is. Both of these things are issues for you, right?
And you need to resolve them in your head.
And that's totally fine.
And it's absolutely fine. You are completely right to address them in your head. At 26 and 39, if you have someone who has a young enough outlook, there's not a lot of difference.
No.
I'm going to tell you, 25 years later, my husband are now, and I'm 55, he's in his mid-60s. And in another 10 years, I'll be in my mid-60s, he'll be in his mid-70s. As the generation goes on, it becomes a little bit more marked, and it just depends on how you two adjust to each other in that time. The age difference is a factor, but it doesn't have to be a disadvantage.
No.
And it's about you understanding and accepting how you feel about it.
That is the way that he is going to play this.
Yeah,
because if he's in it the way you're in it,
yeah,
he's going to be taking his lead on all of this stuff from you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are the one that is clearly slightly sensitive to this.
Yeah. But I will say this, right? Here's a little point. It's early days.
It's early days.
And you're the one on day three going, asking all those big questions. And I'm wondering how long he's out of that very long relationship he had. And I'm thinking to myself, here he is with a young girl having a lovely time. Is he as in it as you are? You know, the thing is, and I'm not trying to put doubt in here. If he's been in a very long relationship for a long time, maybe he likes to be in a relationship and that's okay. Every relationship is different, but you might be skipping ahead here a little bit. You know, so don't worry about it. Think about how you feel about these things. You know, the reality is, it doesn't have to be a deal breaker.
I have to say, I was that person in relationships. And my boyfriend ever broke up, I just wouldn't be able to date again.
No, you wouldn't.
Because I cannot function when I'm dating.
Well, I did know you then, to be fair.
I was demented. I swear to God, if I'm ever back... If I'm ever back dating, avoid me like the plague.
No, it's very
sad.
Well,
I am trouble.
I'll still have to see you every couple of weeks for this now, unless you've given this up.
But like, what I'm saying is that it screws with your head.
Yeah,
a little bit. Like dating when it's a level playing field messes with your head.
Yeah.
But when it's destabilized by this, it's going to do that anyway. So just take a little breath. This will be it's very much what will be, will be. Whoever the one is for you,
yeah.
right? When you meet them.
Yeah.
You and know. It could be this guy.
It could
like,
be.
Yeah, it could be because it sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
But you're going to have a great relationship because you're so willing to tease this stuff
yeah.
out.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's win-win for you.
No, it is a win-win. You're in a very positive position here. The thing is, you're right. You're asking for advice. But the reality is, you just have to decide that this is what you want.
And also, the fact that you know there's a sabotage-y part to you.
That's really good, actually.
That's really good.
Have that. Yeah.
I didn't realise it for years, but I do.
Did you warn your partner that you had that? Do you ever tell him?
No,
that?
I think we're kind of over that.
Oh, he is so over that.
Like,
You're like a toddler with having a tantrum. He just steps over that. Like,
oh my God, Jeff. I'm just like, this is all just, he's like, you need to cop on.
Love it.
I can't talk to you when you're like this.
I can't tell you.
And I'm like, Trust me.
I'm going to say this with love, Garode. As much as I love you, if ever there was potential that you two are going to split up, I would be straight in there giving the couples therapy. Because he keeps you on
Nobody
an even keel.
Nobody deserves this.
He keeps you on an even
keel. You think for 1 second, if he goes out the door that you're going to be ringing me in the middle of the night, you have another thing coming.
There's three of us in this relationship.
You Somebody was me. Stupid enough to put to lock this down and put a ring on it. I swear to God, we're going to do all we can to keep him in the picture.
Without a doubt. I'd love a follow-up to see how you're going. It's early. Yeah. It's early days. You know, the simple truth is it's all in the mind, but there are real issues to take into consideration. Will he want kids if he's already got kids? But that's further down the line. If it's early days, it's further down. You have loads of things to think about, but you have to decide how you feel about it.
Yeah. Once you know how you feel about it,
you could love him, but not
you're
necessarily
a winner.
You'd not necessarily want to have to deal with, you know, the fact that you might have to put him in a care home at some point.
Just a little bit of hope there
just
for you.
Saying.
Just tacked on the just end.
I'm not saying.
I have to say, I don't think I quite like the idea of going out with somebody older.
Oh, no, I tell you, it is a revelation. I've gone out with younger people, older people, and it's beautiful
she's
in the
been
sense.
Around the block.
There's
she
nothing.
Was a good time hat by
and
all.
And you can never underestimate how wonderful gratitude is in a relationship. When you're the young and fabulous one, trust me. The great thing is you can get to 55 and still be the young and fabulous one in the relationship. I'm going to give you that big heads up now. That's no bad thing.
We hope we've helped. And let us know. Let us know how you're doing.
We have a problem, Garode.
Hit me.
Oh, well, okay.
Ow!
Well, he did ask. Anyway, Garode and Eve, firstly, take a bow. I went to see Garode and Listowel, and it was genuinely the best show I've seen in a long, long time.
Listowel is very far.
It is very far.
Oh my God, it's very far. I drove there from Wexford.
Oh, well, that's why it's very far.
It's very far.
I was thinking, I didn't think it was any further than some.
I think that must have been the trip that killed me car.
No. Oh.
Anyway.
You brought up some great memories there for him. I was actually in pain. I laughed so much. We said hello when you were leaving and I was like a raccoon because all of my mascara had run off my face. Surely you remember.
I think I do, actually.
So I have a problem and I hope you can help me as I feel if I don't get this solved soon, I will never sleep again.
Oh.
And that's not good. 18 months ago, I agreed to go into business with my sister. We were both unemployed as she had worked in events and was laid off during COVID and I had just got made redundant. We agreed to go into business together and to give it 2 years. We did, and it has been a roaring success.
Mm.
We have lots of work, a strong offering, and we get on well and work really well together. These things all sound great, but in actual fact, these are the problem. I think I know where this is going.
Oh.
I do not enjoy this work at all. I don't like being the boss, and I don't like that my personal relationship with my sister has become a working relationship. Yeah.
Oh.
My sister, however, is thriving. She loves what we are achieving. And to be fair, we are absolutely smashing it. But my heart isn't in it. We invested equally and agreed to do it for 2 years. But I know that in 6 months' time, I will want out. This isn't my dream. It is hers. I know she's going to be really upset and devastated, in fact. But equally, I think she knows that this venture weighs more heavily on me than it does her. I'm more risk averse. I like structure and she is a bit of a wild one. I'm enjoying the ride, but I think long term this could be a risky move for us. And there is a part of me that wants to get out while the going is good. What do you think I should do? Should I break it to her? Do you think I'm being unfair? There was a lot of questions there. Love to know your thoughts. I want to get the experts involved because while I want our partnership to end, I do not want to lose my sister as she means the world to me, Elizabeth. Now, that last sentence says an awful lot there. Did we say we were experts at any given moment?
No.
No, but
we're not experts and we're definitely not experts in this.
However,
because this is complicated.
It is complicated. It depends on how you set the company up, obviously from the business side, right? But if you're talking about the emotional side of nursing your way through here, the simple truth is you don't have to stay doing something you don't want to do.
No.
That is the truth. And if your sister loves you, she will have to understand that.
Yeah.
And if you're honest with her and straightforward, but it depends on what your plan is. Are you planning, A, to take out everything and then take away from her?
Yeah.
Or are you planning that you can take a step back and maybe not do the work, but keep your investment in it?
Yeah.
That might be an option.
If you can do that, I think that is the...
That is the optimum.
That's the ideal.
Yeah.
But obviously, that may not be the case.
No.
Depends on what... Because she doesn't say what the business is, so it's very hard to know like whether there's like...
Yeah.
But...
At the root of this, this is your sister who you get on with and you love. And...
You see, here's the thing, right? Mm. Going into business with your family.
It's tough.
It changes your whole relationship.
It changes everything.
And as much as I love all my family, I don't know if there's anyone that I could go into business with because... I feel like in business, you see a different side. I think you see a side of people that you never see when you're just a personal relationship with them.
No, I
remember
agree.
When we were kids, like, you know, if you go into work with your dad and you see your dad in work and you're like, oh my God, he's a different person.
Oh
like,
no,
this
I know.
Is so weird.
I know. It is really funny actually because technically I work with my husband occasionally in the sense that we gig together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the dynamic has to be such a thing. Right? Now, we don't do all the work together, which is helpful, right? But how I am when I work with him is slightly different.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I can't go in there like the diva boss that I am. But actually, I find it really easy to work with him because he doesn't actually try to take over what I do.
Yeah.
So he recognises this is my job and therefore he understands the role in that, right? And I am doing what I love, which is a different thing.
Yeah.
Right. I think like lending money, you can't, it's really difficult to do it with family because their expectation, if you're both really businesslike about it and can be businesslike about it, then that's brilliant. So in other words, if this is in the real world and you were two business people and you decided, I've given my all for this for 2 years, I really enjoyed it, but I want to go do something else, you would be perfectly within your rights to make that decision. And the business partner has to accept that. And to be fair, in the real world, that isn't always the way it happens. They usually get a bit upset themselves. But the reality is you are within your rights to do that. And you shouldn't do something that you will destroy you eventually because it will destroy your relationship with your sister anyway because you'll be resenting her for keeping you there.
You went into business and you said, we're going to give it 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to give it 2 years sounds like if it's not working in 2 years.
Yeah, you weren't very clear that I'm only going to do it 2 years.
But, so your sister's perception is that this is going really, really well, so that this is going to continue past the 2 years.
Yeah, you need to have that conversation.
So you need to have the conversation, well, that you don't want it to continue past the 2 years. Because as far as she's concerned, the moment that the success started with the company, she thought, okay, well, we're in this now for the long haul.
Yeah.
So you need to start saying, actually, I'm not happy doing this.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be really clear and then you're saying that I do want out and I do want out at the 2 years that we agreed upon. Now, what may need to happen is you may have to give her slightly more time than that.
Because you might have to be a little longer than 2 years.
You might have to run over your 2 years.
But if you think you have a time to go, yeah.
If the company's doing really, really well, they may...
It might be difficult to just go.
They might have to get a replacement, yeah, yeah, to depend on what it is that you do, right? That is the downside of the company being successful.
Yeah.
The upside of the company being successful is that,
it
I guess, if you want to take your money out, or your initial investment out...
There's bound to be somebody.
Well, there's bound to be,
yeah,
somebody that will give her a loan, that will lend the company a loan, or an accountant that maybe will be able to help. Because the business is doing well, you're mm-hmm. in a better financial position to... get support. Maybe there's grants available.
Yeah, but clearly it may be, by the looks of this, she says she doesn't want to be the boss, and she doesn't want to be, you know, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't want to be the ventures heavy. This is not her area. So the reality is that maybe she's doing something that her sister doesn't do in this situation.
Yeah, possibly.
So maybe she can get someone in to do that. But the reality is, the first thing you need to do is, outside of work, you and her go out and have a very honest conversation about how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Tell her, this is not for me. I'm enjoying, I love you, and I don't want this to get in between. But actually, I'm delighted it's successful. Let's look at ways, instead of going to her and saying, I'm leaving, say, let's look at ways that you can continue on, but I think I need to step out. You know, and I think what you're doing is then you're showing her that you're supporting what she's doing, and that you're loving enough to help her through that transition. She'll probably try and convince you out of it. But I think if she loves you the way you love her, she will come to terms with it. It might take her a little bit. You know, there is an adjustment to be made.
I think that the cushion is always going to be that this is a success. And I
think that's really helpful.
If you are, if you are going down a solution of leaving, that means she can't continue.
Yeah. That would be horrible.
I think that that is going to put your future relationship in jeopardy. And I think that you have to do as much as you possibly can to try and minimize that happening. Because at the end of the day, she's your sister.
Yeah. I think actually this isn't as tragic as you think. But I appreciate that you're getting nervous about telling her. And this is the problem, I think, at the root of everything, is that people don't say how they feel. You start with the personal and say to her, look, it's great that the business is doing really well. Ask her how she feels about the business. Genuinely, because you never know, she might be enjoying it but also thinking, I'm not sure, you know, you just don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you can be just very enthusiastic about the job in front of you.
Sure.
And I think in business, at any point, you have to just go, are you enjoying this?
Yeah. So I mean, it's good to have that conversation, and you think about what it is you're going to do. So in other words, do you need to take your investment out? Do you need to be bought out? So have a kind of an idea of what it is you want, right? Because actually that will be more helpful when you come to the table. You know, I've been thinking about this. This is how I feel. I definitely want to step back from the business, but I'll still leave my investment there and then take shares from it. Or, you know, there's ways to structure all
of
that.
There's ways to do it. And the first thing you need to do is have a conversation. And the second thing you need to do is to phone your accountant.
Without a
doubt.
And
sit down.
Yeah. And work out the best way.
Because you need to work out the best way forward.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I find that the actual running of a business is so different to doing the thing that is the business.
Yes, no, without a doubt.
And we're just not supposed to have those skills.
No, well, I think quite often, especially in creative areas, you know, they don't always run alongside.
I'll be jailed.
I know.
At some point, I'll be jailed because I, you know.
But we can Zoom, can't we?
Oh, yeah, we can record over Zoom by then.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that would add a whole new dimension.
I know, yeah. I was beating up in the showers, Niamh.
Our weekly chats would be very
Send
different.
The heavies.
Very different. No, but you know, but seriously, I think the first step is for you to decide what your exit strategy may or may not be. Don't decide it completely, because maybe she'll present some alternative to you. There are alternatives there for you. But the very first thing you need to do is speak to your sister as your sister. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't be in something you don't want to do.
Absolutely not.
Because if your sister loves you.
Yeah, she'll want the same for you.
Yeah.
The problem and the solution to all of this is the success of the business.
Yeah, that, you know, well, it is.
If this was just trickling along, you could both go, yeah, look, we gave it a bash. It didn't work.
But then you might come up a bit of resistance because, you know, if she's really into it, you know.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, the success is helpful.
Yeah.
Because
she'll make it work.
She can make it work, or more importantly, someone else will want to help her make it work too.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is, like, it does sound like whatever this is going to be successful. So I think you need to be very clear. Look at your reasons as to why you're getting out of this.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is in 5 years' time, this to be a massive success and you're going, oh, this was, you know, I left because I was, you know, I was sick of doing the timesheets.
Yeah, or, so you have know, to whatever. Come, you have to come to terms with that. You have to see why it is you're not in it. And if you're not in it, then for the right reason, that's fine. You know, that's, you know, whatever it is, there's no right or wrong answer in this question. But the more important thing is that at the heart of it, you don't want to lose your sister, which we talked about before.
Yeah, and
you
also know, and, is the, it's a very, like when you do something, like it's me and Niamh now, we've been friends for...
Too long.
A million years.
Yeah.
But like, when we started to work together,
yeah, it took a little.
Like it's kind of a bit different because you're working with somebody and you're doing,
yeah,
you know, really? You're kind of trying. Well, you're trying to make decisions.
Yeah.
Like, should we do this? Should we? You know, what do we?
The majority of it is Gro does the work and I let him.
Yeah.
You know,
Niamh rocks up.
I rock.
What
up.
Am I doing? Where am I speaking? Pointing at me.
Pointed at me.
I'm a diva. You know, I don't move.
But I think there's an acceptance in that, and you know, but we do have honest conversations actually. We have honest conversations. Occasionally, I'll say to you, you know, if you find someone better to do with this, I'll gouge your eyes out. You know, things like that. No, but you have to be honest with each other and understand that it's not always about how successful something is. It also has to be how you feel.
This is where we're very different.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, it has to be successful.
No. Don't get me wrong. I want it to be successful.
I mean, it's very successful. And we don't make a penny from it.
I know. We've done over 90 shows now. And to be fair, you know, we love doing what we're doing. You know, and we really do.
We got one check.
Did we get a check?
We did get one check.
I remember vaguely.
We went for a Chinese.
We did.
And we spent the check.
I think I had duck, actually. It was a good check.
Yeah, I had a chicken katsu curry.
You did.
Chicken katsu curry and a Coke. Can of Coke.
Yeah, but that is your go-to, to be fair. Yeah. No matter. We go in and we look at that menu every single time and that's it.
They go, I can't wait till the next check.
Yeah.
If you would like to sponsor the show, because at this point it's ridiculous.
We are investing ourselves in ways we don't know. Just for the good of the world.
I know. I swear to God, like, if you've got, like, Elizabeth, if you've got any advice on how to make things work.
Do you want to get involved into a podcast? Yeah. That could be our next venture. Anyway, listen, let us know how you get on, Elizabeth. I really hope that it works out well. But just remember at the heart, your sister loves you and you love your sister. And that's all that matters. You know, yeah. And that's not necessarily the main factor in your business, because business is business and we know that. But actually, you should really consider the fact that she loves you, and so have a conversation with her. That's it.
I think we've helped.
I'm never that sure. And then randomly you're out somewhere. Like, we were around getting our coffee today and your woman says,
she was lovely.
And she stood waiting and we were ranting about the fact that we weren't nominated.
We were not nominated for the Irish podcast.
We better be nominated this
over
year.
A year ago.
I know.
I did kind of wonder when she walked away, I was like, what did she hear? Because we probably didn't come across great. Yeah. I think we are helping.
We must be helping, even if it's only to make him laugh.
I mean, we're not getting a lot of follow-ups and that makes me think that we're, you know, it just makes me think that there's trouble on the horizon.
You worry that they're with their lawyers.
We're going to be at the business end of a class action at some point.
I have a very strong feeling that they'd have to go through some sort of serious legal situation to find a precedent where a Eurovision winner and a comedian would class as proper advice.
As we've always said, if you're asking us for advice, everything that happens is on you.
Yeah, completely. Thank you.
It's been lovely to chat to you, Niamh.
Always.
We will be back next week. agonyrant@gmail.com. If you'd like to get in touch, please subscribe to us on Headstuff Plus.
Yes.
It's been wonderful to chat to you. We will chat to you next week.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.